Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Southern Miss fans know the number one stop for Golden Eagle apparel is Campus Bookmart on Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. Baseball, basketball, football, Campus Bookmart has it covered with clothing to fit the young and old, big and small Golden Eagle in your family. You can visit the store on Hardy Street, shop online at campusbookmart.net, or call in your order and have it mailed to your front door. However you choose to buy, always visit Campus Bookmart first. You won't be sorry. Campus Bookmart and Southern Miss, to the top.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Middle of the week, live from the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg. And Laurel, it's the Eagle Hour. Thank you for listening across the Super Talk Mississippi Network and wherever you're tuning in from. Appreciate you joining us today. Luke Johnson, Kelly Sander, Michael Mergens, Bob out today. Got some exciting interviews coming up later this hour. We'll talk to Jason Baker. The women set for a Super 16 matchup in Monroe tonight in basketball. We'll talk to Jason about the WNIT matchup. Dom Davis with her 20.3 points per game average, trying to knock off the Lady Warhawks. We'll talk to Jason a little later. First segment of the Eagle Hour, brought to you every day by Dickey's Barbecue, located in a community near you. Our hometown team, located just outside the Turtle Creek Mall in Hattiesburg. Well, Kelly, we got Tulane last night.
The team that the Eagles have played more than any other team in program history. There's some trivia for you.
9-4, 14 hits. Carson Pato, not only with some great hitting, one just a triple shy of the cycle, but some web gems he made last night. Here to break it down with us, Southern Miss assistant baseball coach Travis Creel joining us. And, Coach, when you get 9 runs, put a 4 spot up, scoring 5 of the 9 innings and 14 hits, that makes for a great Tuesday and Wednesday for you.
Yeah, that was good to see. And, you know, like Kelly said, you know, back when I was playing and before me, I mean, that was our biggest rival. I mean, we hated Tulane. These kids, you know, we don't play them as much, not in our league, obviously, anymore. So it's a little different, but it was good. It's a good feeling when you beat the Green Wave.
So let's start with Carson Pato. 3-for-4 last night. It's the home run, double, a single, almost took away a home run, but made an exciting web gem. Let's just start with him. He's been a different dude the last couple weeks.
Yeah, he's played great, man. And we needed Carson to get going along with, you know, some others as well. But, yeah, the talent's obviously there. Carson has done tremendous things in an Eagle uniform. And for him to just kind of relax and get his confidence back and kind of get that edge back and, he's really getting swings off the past couple weeks, and he's a presence, man. Other pitching coaches fear him, and when our middle of the order gets going at the same time, you know, it's pretty dangerous. And very, very proud of Carson, man. He is a worker. He is a constant worker and loves the game, and a big part of our success.
266 right now, 5 home runs, 18 RBIs. He's tied with Slade Wilkes for the lead. Coach, just talk more about just as a whole the game last night. You coaches reflect on that. What did you see positive, because it was a response after a tough week?
Yeah, I think the message for us, you know, on Sunday and Monday was pretty simple. You know, we look like we're playing really tight, playing maybe not to lose instead of being the aggressor and wanting to, you know, play to win. And I think for whatever reason, our guys have kind of not been themselves at times, and they want it so bad, man. Our guys, we have a great group of guys. They want it so bad. They work so hard, and sometimes maybe that extra added pressure is a negative. And I thought last night we played free, we played confident, we had fun, you know, playing baseball with their buddies. And when you do that with the talent that we have, you can, you know, put up some good games.
One of the words that you used in conjunction with Pato's play is confidence. And I want to talk a little bit about that, because it can be such a plus, but man, it can also be a real burden if things aren't going well. Can you expound upon that, Coach Creel?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, confidence is everything in this game. And if you're not confident, we tell them all the time, you're not confident, you're out. You know, it's just a very humbling game. This game chew you up and spit you out, man. And you can hit balls hard and have nothing to show for it. You can do all the work. You can put in the preparation and maybe not get the results. So it's a very humbling game. And, again, if you're what we call result-oriented and you're worried about stats and you're worried about, you know, things you can't control, it's going to eat you up. So to get that confidence for him is huge. You know, he's a big physical specimen of a kid. And sometimes, for whatever reason, he does lack confidence. He's a very humble kid and a very good kid. And sometimes you wish, hey, man, do you know how good you are? And, you know, when he does realize that and he plays like that, you know, he's obviously a tremendous player.
And to talk further about it, when a guy is hitting well and conversely when he's not hitting well, how much of it is mechanics and actual execution and how much of it is between the ears?
Yeah, that's a great question, Kelly. I think, obviously, you know, it goes kid to kid and person to person. Sometimes, certainly, mechanics can, you know, get messed up along the way of the season. But the vast majority of the time for us, it's, you know, whether it's pitching or hitting or defense, whatever, it's a mentality. It's your mental state. It's your confidence. It's your mental approach to things. So, yeah, we preach it all the time. You know, I was obviously a huge advocate of it as well, that your mentality and your mindset is you know, outweighs the physical.
And to the layperson at home, I'm sure many people have heard the term plate approach, and we may have talked about this before, but can you educate maybe the listener that's the casual baseball fan, is what is plate approach and where does it fit into the overall at-bat?
Yeah, I think it varies pitcher to pitcher. You know, I think it depends on the arm. Last night, facing Tulane, their starting pitcher, you know, 90-92, and he pitched up in the zone, and it's something that's called ride. He has ride on his fastball. I could get into all the analytics, but basically, the analytical side, he has a really good, it's called induced vertical break. Basically, makes his fastball look like it's rising a little bit. So he gets a lot of fly outs. So a guy like that, you got to really fight to stay on top of the baseball. Or he's going to get above your barrel. On the opposite side of that, you got sinker ballers who are going to make you beat it into the ground, and you got to really think, don't let them beneath your barrel. So it goes pitcher to pitcher, and that's why it's important to have a bullpen with a bunch of different looks, you know, not just all the same type of pitcher. That way you can confuse the offense a little bit.
We're visiting with Southern Miss assistant baseball coach Travis Creel. Golden Eagles beat Tulane last night 9-4. And going back to that, Coach, just kind of a talking point. I asked Oz this Monday just in passing. You know, we've seen the last, I don't know, it was two against Georgia Southern and the Blevins kid against Marshall that pitched an amazing game. It seems as if sometimes off-speed pitches or off-speed approaches have tripped us up a little bit this year, and kind of explain, you know, to our listeners an approach to a guy that, you know, isn't throwing 95, 96, and how difficult it is in that approach.
Yeah, with Blevins and then Fisher on Sunday for Georgia Southern, obviously they both have, you know, you watch them and you go, okay, this guy's kind of average. Well, their stats scream differently. And obviously, we need to approach it better. We got to find a way to hit those guys, Fisher and Blevins. For, you know, if you're throwing 85, 87 at this level, you're doing one thing right. That means you can really command the ball. Both those guys commanding the ball to both sides of the plate. They can command their breaking ball anytime they want it, change up anytime they want it. So there's a approach where you really got to give up one side of the plate at times, because if you're trying to cover the whole plate, college umpire's giving a couple inches off, so you're looking at 21 inches you're trying to cover.
Yeah.
And the guy can dot it on one side of the 21 and the other side of the 21. It's tough, man. So you really got to buy in to, you know, we really try to go backside on Fisher, and for whatever reason, didn't have success, you know, and he kept us off balance. Those lefties that can command, you know, four pitches for strikes at any part of the quadrant of the strike zone, it's just tough to hit, man. So, you know, you see guys like last night's guy for Tulane, big-time arms, but maybe not, you know, commanding the ball as well. And those guys are easier to hit because you're getting to get them over the white part of the plate.
Kelly, we were talking off-air, this Troy team that's about to come in, a lot of local flavor.
Yeah, indeed. You've got Luke Lyon, who out of Pearl River, who has had a great season on the mound. He is at Troy out of Oak Grove High School. Matt Mercer out of Peddle High School. He's on the Troy roster, and this is a Troy team that started out red hot. They stubbed their toe last weekend against South Al, but and people were looking at South Al going, what the heck is wrong with them? But they showed up come conference time. So this thing is wide open, but what particular problems does Troy present you guys, Coach Creel?
Yeah, well, the local flavor for sure. I think it speaks, you know, how good Mississippi Junior College baseball is. And you look at Louisiana Tech and Louisiana Monroe and Troy and South Al, there's tons of players. We can't sign them all, obviously.
Right.
But it's a really good league. But, yeah, with Troy, they're very athletic. Skyler and Ben do a great job over there recruiting. They're going to have some stuff on the mound. They probably lean more to getting guys with stuff over command, typically. Although Luke, who will pitch this weekend, is more of a command-type pitcher. So, yeah, they're athletic. They pitch the ball really well. You know, we're in a regional final last year at Alabama and honestly had Alabama beat with some bad luck. But, yeah, it's a huge challenge. It's a big-time conference series.
Coach Creel, thanks for your time, man. Go get them, and congratulations on the win against Tulane last night.
All right, appreciate you guys.
That's Travis Creel visiting with us, as he does every Wednesday. We're going to step aside our first break of today's show. Going to come back, Jason Baker, going to talk some more Southern Miss baseball from last night. Troy coming up, as well as Lady Eagles, Super 16 in the WNIT against Monroe tonight. We'll talk all about that after these commercial messages.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Appreciate Travis Creel joining us, recapping the 9-4 victory over Tulane last night. Eagles improved to 16-9 on the year and set their sights on the Troy Trojans, who will be coming in, I guess, today. A early Thursday, Friday, Saturday Easter series, pre-Easter series. But appreciate you joining us, Luke, Kelly, and Michael Mergens from the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg. And Laurel, basketball on the docket tonight, postseason basketball. And so let's go to Monroe, Louisiana to catch up with Jason Baker. We'll talk some baseball with him, then we'll get to basketball. Kelly, we found out that one of the old school eating establishments in North Louisiana, I know that that Kelly, you would enjoy eating at Johnny's Pizza House
all the times, and have many times. I've been at the one in Vidalia. I've been at the one in Natchitoches. I've been to just about every Johnny's Pizza there is, and I'm glad to see that old brother Baker is taking one for the team today for us over there.
Yeah.
In
so
Monroe.
So Baker, was it Bacon Cheeseburger, Barbecue Blast, Hog Heaven, Maui Wowie, Mighty Meaty? That was Jack's, Kelly. Mighty Meaty. That was the one that he always got. Good pizza, Baker?
That's all. It's great pizza. It's a local establishment that's just phenomenal, and the Mighty Meaty has my heart as well. And used to, we got them as post-game meals. You'd get them on the bus. They were fantastic. But today, had a little time on my hands after shoot-around, and me and Sports Information Director for Women's Basketball, Max Greeno, and Ross White, a creative GA, and my youngest son, decided we'd partake in it for lunch today, buffet style, which is an even better treat of Johnny's Pizza House.
Yeah, and 9 out of 10, just for the record, 9 out of 10 cardiologists recommend the buffet at Johnny's.
they do, Kelly. They sure do.
Yeah, you said the Mighty Meaty. I said, yeah, it can have your heart in several ways. Anyway,
that's correct.
Let's, let's go back tonight to last night. Great win for the Golden Eagles. Travis, Coach Creel just broke down for us the hitting side. Let's talk some pitching. And of course, you called that game last night. McCarty English gets the start. Chandler Best comes in, looks great. Some of those pieces that we've seen in the pitching staff got moved around last night. Jason, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, Christian Ostrander's not a guy that's just going to accept what they look like over the weekend. And I think I said this last night on the air. I just don't know that we're ever going to accuse Christian Ostrander of being stagnant with a lineup or a staff. And I will tell you, just of the pitching coaches that I've ever been around and associated myself with, they all sort of have that tending to be characteristic. They tend to be tinkerers and, you know, going to try things and see what sticks and maybe try to find a different role for a guy that maybe he's not doing so well. And I look at, like, J.B. Middleton, right? I mean, he's been good on the back end. And, you know, Oz and I were talking, he's just not been clean and great, like, on the back end of the thing. So now it's like, okay, well, maybe he can get us 9 outs versus only asking him to get us 3 to 4 to 5. And so Christian Ostrander just kind of strikes me in this middle portion of the season of kind of sorting some guys in some different roles and analyzing how they're going to handle it. Colby Allen's been electric in long relief, but now it's like, what does he look like in, you know, 3-out relief, right? Trying to slam the door. And based on what we saw last night, he looks pretty good in that role. So I just think it's one of those situations where the timing of the season and the length of the season allows you to move some pieces around, analyze them for a couple of games, and then maybe see what goes from there. And that's what I believe Christian Ostrander was doing last night, and it all started with moving McCarty English out of the bullpen and putting him on the bump and seeing how he extends. And I get people, I had some people kind of tweeting at me last night during the game, like, hey, I thought he was starting and going to extend. Well, I gave him the start. He didn't say how long he was going with him. It's about his approach, right, and how he handled his business throughout the day to get ready for the start. And, you know, frankly, I thought McCarty English looked pretty good, you know, just in this broadcaster's opinion.
We saw the kind of the weekend bullpen with the exception of Armistead and Best. Best looked really good. I mean, this is the third appearance in a row. He hasn't given up a run. Do you think that he is a weekend option now rather than just the midweek?
I'm really curious to see what the role is going to expand for Chandler. What I know is they wanted to take his approach back onto the mound slowly as the season began. They did that. I think they kind of knew what they had, Luke, and, you know, I think it's a situation now in their mind where let's put him in some high-leverage situations, see how it performs. What I'm watching is the velo is climbing back to where Chandler Best was in 2022. You know, he was a 6th, 7th inning kind of guy, some 8th. And so you've known what you got, and if it comes back the way that it was in 2022, there was no reason to rush him out there and get him all these innings and, you know, late February, early March. I think now you're going to see that workload increase. And yeah, Luke, like, I don't know that I'll be shocked with any announcement with any of these guys right now, frankly. I don't know who's going to go fill Colby Allen's role for long relief if Colby Allen's going to the backside, and Oz hasn't revealed that to me. We were talking about the shuffling a lot prior to the game yesterday, he and I, but he never really gave me a reveal of his plan. And you know, maybe some of that is it's still being evaluated, and I don't know that it's just set in stone. And personally, I think with the length of these seasons, it's sort of something that pleases me that he's willing to move them around and try and do. And let's face it, this team has not played their best baseball yet, and I think that's a positive thing because it's not time yet to be playing your best. And so it's about getting wins, and can you move them into spaces that they're comfortable with to play their best when these things really, really, really matter. They matter now, but y'all know what I mean. Like, there's postseason aspirations for this club, and there's a goal and a destination to get to a place called Omaha that this team wants to be, and you know, we're still a little ways away from that destination.
Well, when it comes to, though, managing a pitching staff, the biggest part of the decision is what do I have available? Lots of times decisions are made for you because you don't have all hands on deck because of injuries and so on. But you've got Ostrander now that pretty much has, the cupboard's fully loaded, which gives him a bunch of options. But he appears to me, Jason, to be running this team very much like a business. No hard feelings. I love you, but either you're doing the job or you're not.
Oh, Kelly, you've nailed it. I mean, it's who he is. It's 100% agree with that statement, Kelly. That is 100% accurate. It is, and it's how he always will be, and it's how he's always been with his pitchers. It's, you know, it's not feelings, just business. We have a job to do. I have a job to do. You have a job to do.
Right.
And get the job done. And yeah, for sure. And I think sometimes it's, you know, if I know people have been shocked maybe at some of these early pulls, but hey, he's just not going to tolerate a walk or, you know, or a situation that you're going to put the next guy in a worse situation for. And so he is very businesslike, very, very businesslike in his approaches and decision making. And yeah, you're right. Who's available and certainly plays a part into this. They're getting healthier. I kind of hope to see Landon Payne return this weekend. That was sort of indicated. So I think he's going to be kind of a check on him on Thursday. Is he available for the full weekend? So you get that bullet back in your gun on the back end, and this staff really should be, you know, for all intents and purposes, really healthy right now.
Jason, let's just go ahead and continue some baseball, and then we'll get to,
sure,
to basketball in the next segment. So looking forward, Travis talked to us some about Troy, but you looking at the Trojans, Kelly kind of talked about how they started hot and stumped their toe over the, you know, the last weekend. What's the biggest threat that Troy poses to Southern Miss, either on the offensive or on the pitching side?
Well, I'll tell you right now, in my opinion, and I talked with their coach this morning in prep for the broadcast, is there's sort of a revolving door right now within their pitching staff. They've got some injuries. They've got some guys that they're kind of working back out of injury. They've had some elite performers that maybe haven't performed as well early in the season but are showing some life. And then there's some guys that are still not showing life. And so they've been shuffling around. I mean, the preseason pitcher of the year, Grayson Stewart, threw literally two innings last weekend against South Alabama, and they were bullpen innings. And you're talking about a guy with five starts on the year. And so they did not reveal their pitching rotation to me. They just kind of indicated some guys that I'll see, but they didn't necessarily define that role. And for me, sometimes I think that's hard when you're an offense trying to prepare, because you, not that they don't prepare for the whole staff, but you know what I mean. When it's set in stone and you know the three arms you're going to see, you know, in this case, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you can bring a mindset and understand what you're going to see from multiple innings. I mean, they used like five guys last Friday night against South Alabama. Just not the norm, right? And so they're kind of funky that way. And then offensively, it's some guys that maybe you didn't know that they've hit from the transfer portal. And, of course, they have Shane Lewis that set the home run record from a year ago at Troy. And he's hitting 158 right now. So,
wow,
in the seventh hole, right? Like, they've just kind of been up and down, but they're winning and kind of finding ways to win. Kind of sounds kind of similar to a team that we all know and love.
And they were projected to finish, remember, in the preseason polls, for what those are worth. The Trojans were picked, you know, by most to finish second in the league.
Yeah.
So this is a team that's got some ability up and down that roster.
Yeah, and I referenced it last night. I saw a couple of, you know, prognosticators within college baseball early in the season. Some had this team as a team that could be like the surprise team in Omaha. They think they're that talented. I do too, for that matter. Not that I think they're going to Omaha, but I think they're very talented.
Yeah.
And they're just, I don't want to say they're underperforming, but maybe the guys that they thought would be performing are not, and they've had some guys step up and kind of carry them. But if they're going to be where I think some people think they should be and can be, Shane Lewis is going to have to get going, and they're going to have to see some starts from Grayson Stewart improve, or at least some outings from Grayson Stewart.
Yeah.
And if they're, he said it, their coach said it, they need their dudes to be dudes. And what's funny is Christian Ostrander told me the very same thing about his ball club heading into that ball game last night against Tulane.
Let's continue with Jason Baker, talk some basketball. Eagle Hour continues on a Wednesday.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
Back on a Wednesday. That previous segment brought to you by Campus Bookmark, located in Hattiesburg on Hardy Street, campusbookmark.net. The place to go for Golden Eagle swag. We're going to have a basketball conversation now with Jason Baker as we continue with him in the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg and Laurel. Jason in Monroe for tonight's Super 16 WNIT matchup. between the Lady Eagles and Monroe. This kind of feels, Jason, like Louisiana Tech, Southern Miss. You don't meet a team three times, you know, and apart from a tournament, you know, and that's what's happening now. But Lady Eagles 0-2 so far against Mississippi Bilderbacks Warhawks. And, you know, give us the breakdown of this and leading up. This is exciting stuff for Dom Davis and Joey Lee McNellis and the Lady Eagles.
Yeah, it is, right? And what's been intriguing is the matchups have really been contrasting. When they came to Reed Green back in late January, they were a more offensive-minded team, being the Louisiana Monroe Warhawks, and really sort of put that transition game on display. And then they caught a break in the second matchup. Dominique Davis did not play in that second matchup in Fant Ewing Coliseum. That was part of the suspension that was passed down from the Sun Belt Conference. And Dom was not planned to sit against them, but she was forced to. And so we didn't have Dom Davis. And then it turned to a defensive battle, a 57-52 victory for the Warhawks. But they utilized a 22-point fourth quarter. Lady Eagles have really controlled that basketball game and had handled Nunu Bradford in that basketball game as well. And so I'm very intrigued tonight to see how the teams go about the tempo, the rhythm. If there was any team in the Sun Belt Conference, if you were going to play them with seven players, this would be the team, because they only play 7 to 8 players. They're not a very, very deep team. They're very talented with the five that are on the floor. They have a sixth player of the year candidate in Caitlin Manuel. And so to me, like, this would be the team that you would have selected to run up against with seven. And try to see if your seven's as good as their seven, right? And so tonight, to me, is when you're playing with low numbers, it's all about tempo and pace and, you know, the fatigue factor that comes into playing this time of year, how that all plays itself out. I'm super curious to see what pace these two teams try to keep this game at here tonight.
And the bigger story, though, and I think it's flying under the radar just kind of nationally, is – seven players. That's all you've got. I mean, last game, Bracey and Dom played all 45 minutes in the overtime. But, I mean, what's it been like to watch this team go basically their roster cut in half going into the postseason?
Well, I'll describe it this. It's unfortunate, to say the least, that we're doing this at this time. The timing of this transfer portal needs to be addressed, but that's probably a conversation for another day for us. But it's unfortunate, because I think we would have more than seven right now if that was the case. Let me say that. But to watch it now, Luke, with the hand that you're dealt, the way that this team has responded, and, you know, it's I don't know, like, it's a small-knit bond now when you kind of take out some outside pieces and maybe some outside noise and sort of deflect all that away. And to me, the seven that are here, it has been about winning basketball games and winning basketball games only. And so they are very driven, very focused. And I think some of it is when you're few in number, you got to execute better, right? You got to make sure you stay on the floor. The key, probably one of the bigger keys in this ballgame tonight, is how long can Malia Grayson stay on that floor? If she stays on that floor 35-plus minutes, boy, the Lady Eagles will be sitting pretty. And so to me, that's what this is about. And that's what being down to seven players has really done, is kind of cut that focus in on, this is what we have to do. This is how we have to execute. This is our way to win games. And frankly, that's what they've done against UAB and Murray State.
Well, from a broadcasting standpoint, Jason, with Monroe only using 7 or 8 players and the Lady Eagles only having 7, makes your job of roster memorization a lot easier.
It does. It was a quick sight chart this morning to lay those down today.
So the Magnificent Seven, if Dom Davis were not be able to play tonight, which she is, but I'm just saying, you know, because of a suspension, the Magnificent Seven would be down to the pick six or the six pack. I don't know. But looking at this game tonight, you got two, you know, Sun Belt teams battling each other. One thing that the Lady Eagles, it would seem, have going for them, despite the numbers, is they're more rested, because the Warhawks just played Monday night.
That is correct, and that's kind of the unique thing about this WNIT. It's windows that you're allowed to play in. We have chosen to be in the early portion of the windows on our host. So the first day available has been what we've wanted to do. Now, some of that's due to the athletic calendar. Some of that is just our preference to go ahead and get this game going, right? Don't allow it more rest, because we feel we're a pretty conditioned team. Joey Lee McNellis does a fantastic job of conditioning this team. And so some of it is, like, that's been our preference. And you're right, Kelly, it's been kind of unique. Louisiana Monroe has chosen to be on the back half. Well, because of that and the way the calendars have laid out, when the WNIT said this game will be played on Wednesday, they're playing on short rest. Essentially, we're going to play on long rest. And that's what I mean. Like, there's a decision to be had in this game tonight with so few players. Well, for the Lady Eagles, so few available. And then Monroe chooses to play that way. They have more players on the bench. What will this rhythm be tonight? I mean, the Lady Eagles clearly don't want it to go up and down the floor. But in some ways, I'm not so sure that doesn't play in our hands a little bit, because in my opinion, I think we'll have the best player on the floor in Dom Davis, and we'll have the best post player on the floor without a doubt in Malia Grayson. And so, you know, sometimes I think it's better to go at that pace. So that's going to be the first thing I'm watching tonight within that first quarter, to see what's the tempo and the rhythm being chosen by these two teams, and who's going to win out in establishing that rhythm.
Do we anticipate that Jack Trosper will be pushing the buttons tonight, or is Coach McNellis, what do you expect?
Well, I was hoping we wouldn't get that question. So my understanding is Joy is en route to Monroe, literally, I think, as we speak.
Okay.
So I think she's coming. Now, who's pushing the buttons tonight? I'm not quite sure how that dynamic's going to work. If you noticed on Saturday against Murray State, Jack was up and coaching a lot more. Joy staying subdued, but then in timeouts, she's still able to sit down on her stool and able to coach just like normal. Make no mistake, her handprint is still all sure. over this program and team, and they definitely are consulting with her, but she did not come with the team yesterday, to answer your question fairly, but we do anticipate her being here today, although I have not seen her yet.
All right, let's talk women's basketball very briefly in the few moments we have left with Jason Baker, who will be on the call tonight as the Lady Eagles go over to Monroe to take on the Warhawks in the WNIT Suite 16. So, Caitlin Clark, Big Three Sports, which is headed up by one of the Ice Cube or Ice-T or one of those rapper, producer, actors, whatever, $5 million contract now for Caitlin Clark of Iowa that Big Three is offering her. What is something like that? And I don't care who you are, that's big money. What does a contract like that, Jason, do to impact women's college basketball across the board?
Well, I think it gets a lot of agents and a lot of other women players involved in the sport to say, hey, how can I get a slice of the pie? And frankly, with the way to me that the players have been paid from the WNBA and the lack thereof, this was almost a formality. And I'll point you to golf, in the world of golf right now, and what's happening with the war between the PGA Tour and the LIV Tour, trying to buy up this talent. It almost felt like this was going to be a formality in the women's world of basketball with the WNBA. You know, they still fly commercial. They are fighting for charter flights that are being more given to them now because of some requests and some sponsorships. And I'll tell you, fellas, Caitlin Clark to me is a player that can change the game in that way, can bring a lot more eyes and money. I mean, she has got sponsorships galore already. I mean, my understanding is she's almost over $2 million of NIL proceeds. So, frankly, I mean, she's already making it. And so she's just going to bring more of that to the table from the WNBA side. And then when you've got a venue and an operation now that's kind of sliding into the game and saying, hey, we'll pay you $5.3 million if you'll come play here. Well, if I'm Caitlin Clark's father, I'm like, hey, send us the contract, right? That beats Europe for 3.5 months making, you know, an eighth of that. And to me, they only have a small window to earn that money. And to me, my belief with athletes is if you can make it. And if it's available, grab it.
It's an interesting choice by Big Three, not to take any of her talent away from her, obviously. But look, this young lady's a little rough around the edges. She's not going to win Forest County Miss Hospitality.
No, and she's got competitor written all over her. And, you know, when you've got that many cameras on you at all times, I was watching her game, what was that, the second round game the other night that they're being played against West Virginia. My youngest son, who's a huge women's basketball fan, he's here with me today for this game. He was watching it with me, and of course, she lets an F-bomb slip on national television. He turned to me and said, did you see what she just said?
Uh-oh.
I said, yeah, I did. And that's, Kelly, to your point, right?
Yeah.
She's not that. She's a competitor and a basketball player first, and you know, we'll see how the career kind of lays out for and how much that's accepted or maybe not accepted, you know, in the women's game, fair or unfair. That's probably a whole another segment for another day. But, you know, we'll see. But, she's dynamic, and I'll tell you, I mean, she's got the world. I will tell you this, and I know I work in women's basketball. I have not watched 7 minutes of March Madness on the men's side. I don't miss when Caitlin Clark is on television right now, and that's just being completely honest.
Jason Baker, what time is tip tonight in Monroe?
Tonight is 6:30. We got a 6 o'clock airtime tonight for us.
All right, Jason Baker with us, the voice of the Lady Eagles. It's win or go home in the WNIT as they continue the unlikely march forward with just 7 players, the Magnificent 7. Luke has a little bit about a lot of things. Southern Miss News and Notes next.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Good times with Jason Baker, getting us ready for WNIT Super 16 action tonight in Monroe. It'll go live on the Southern Miss Radio Network 6 o'clock. Tip off at 6:30. Lady Eagles with the Magnificent 7 trying to get a road win and get to the, I think it's the Grade 8 maybe.
Yeah.
Super 16, Grade 8.
Or was it the Elite Eight? I don't know.
No, that's the men. That's the men tournament. Yeah, I think it's like the Fearless Four, something like that. Anyway,
we do know it's the Magnificent Seven, though.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Fourth segment of the Eagle Hour, brought to you every day by DBAT and DBATHattiesburg.com on Hardy Street. Of course, always go see our good friend Slade White and his team over at 4th Street. $9.95 lunch every day, sweet tea, water, Coke, whatever you want over there at 4th Street. And they'll have the Lady Eagles on tonight at 4th Street. Southern Miss softball designated hitter and pitcher Jana Lee named the Sun Belt Player of the Week. Had a .533 batting average over the last week. Her season average is .350. 8 hits over the weekend, helping Southern Miss to their first series win over Marshall since 2010. Men's tennis on an East Coast road trip, 6-5, 2-1 in the Sun Belt. They will head to James Madison and Old Dominion in the next several days. Southern Miss outdoor track athlete Jada McDougal is the Sun Belt Conference track athlete of the week. She's from Decatur, Mississippi, won 3 races over the weekend at the Bulldog Relays in Starkville, including the women's 100 meters, the women's 200 meters, and was part of the women's 4x100 relay. So congratulations to her. The track and field team will be back in action this weekend when they host the Southern Miss invite. Baseball wins last night, 9-4 over Tulane. Carson Pato, a single, a double, and a home run. And Golden Eagles will try to continue that winning streak tomorrow against Troy. We will be tomorrow at the Humble Place in Ellisville on Highway 590. Come see us if you want some great lunch, great blue plate lunch. Kelly, they're prepared for us. Believe it or not, they are.
Yeah, and, although a place like called the Humble Place is going to be difficult for me.
Well, they told us to bring our appetite, which is a very dangerous thing, but they'll be ready for us.
That I can do. Yeah, we're going to be on location there tomorrow. Looking forward to that, getting ready for a big weekend. No program on Friday, I understand, here on the old show, Graham. We're going to take Good Friday off and recognize what Good Friday really is. Big week in the Christian world with Easter coming up. One headline in the NCAA.
Hey, real quick, yeah, by the way. So Douglas Clark, the proprietor, owner of the Humble Place.
Yes.
If you wear USM gear tomorrow, $10 blue plate discount. So if you come tomorrow, any of our listeners, you come to Humble Place, make sure that you wear USM gear. You will get a discount and get a $10 blue plate. Good stuff. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's a heck of a deal, too, you know, considering all the items that they have to choose from there. But look, the NCAA is requesting, and I wanted to run this past you because you obviously played football at that level, Luke. The NCAA is asking legislators across the country whose states are allowed to bet on sports that there be a universal ban on NCAA player props. Now, if you're not familiar with betting, player props are you bet whether quarterback, you know, John Smith is going to throw for more or less than 1.5 touchdowns a game, or that running back, you know, is going to run for more than 100 yards a game. You bet the over, you bet the under, you can bet on just about anything. But the NCAA is asking that college players, that people who are allowed to gamble in states that allow sports gambling, will not be allowed to put money on NCAA individual performances. What do you think about that, Luke?
I mean, I rarely agree with NCAA, but I think that's great. Yeah, I mean, I don't think of course, throwing games and doing all that can occur. We saw it last year with Alabama baseball. But it's just too much on a dude to basically, you know, think that, you know, there's – I think there's two aspects to it. Tons of money based off one guy's performance,
right,
up or down. But the temptation to, you know, make money by not competing at your best.
And the fact that there's still – the NIL thing kind of makes you raise your eyebrows, but they're still theoretically amateur athletes.
You know, NCAA doesn't have any right to tell anybody what they are anymore. But I would agree in principle,
yeah,
you know, with them on this.
And that's where I was going with that. The National Football League has changed the way that you'll have to deal with kickoffs this year. That was voted upon by a majority of the owners. Only three teams voted against the rule changes. One of the things I found intriguing is that on an onside kick, you will have to announce to the other team that you are indeed going to attempt an onside kick. And you can't onside kick it if you're ahead in the game. You can only try an onside kick if you're behind.
So the Saints Super Bowl will never be allowed to happen like that.
Not in the future. And only three teams voted against it.
And yeah, everybody gets to go to the Super Bowl.
Tackle.
Everybody gets a trophy. Yeah.
Can't tackle anymore. Hey, also being told at Humble Place tomorrow, if you wear Southern Miss gear, you get the discount. If you wear Ole Miss gear, you've got to pay a lot more.
You pay double. But if you're an Ole Miss fan, you probably have the money to pay double.
We'll be at the Humble Place in Ellisville tomorrow. Come see us. Watch the Lady Eagles tonight. Let's get them a Super 16 win. We'll tell you all about it tomorrow, same time. For Kelly and Michael and Bob, have a great day. And as always, Southern Miss.
To the top. Top.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.